trustee Green is willing to continue in said position, I would place her in the nomination.
I am, if you guys are willing to suffer how I run the meeting. So, I do my best.
I have another motion, we'll do that.
I have another substitute, it's a motion.
I'll second that motion.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? How about the appearances? Oh my gosh, you're great, well, thank you for bearing with me, because I am not substituted, Robert. Public appearances, and we have two people with us for our first in-person meeting, which we are excited about.
I'm Mary Ellen Merk at 461 Roselawn Boulevard.
Any agenda items specifically you're here for that you'd like moved up?
No, I don't think it'd be moved up, I was just curious about the Roselawn changes, the engineering plan. That's pretty much it, and then where we are in a construction update for that, because Michaels was over there this week, which I didn't know, and they were, can I continue to speak?
Well, we'll get to those items.
Sure.
But just wanted to know if anyone moved up. Okay, thank you.
Oh, and I'm Rich Glenn, I'm with JP Engineering, I'm here for the.
Well, thank you. All right, discussion action, Vicki Safe Routes to School Real Estate Acquisitions.
So just recently, we have wrapped up the preliminary plans for the Doty Safe Route to School sidewalk project. With the completion of the 60% plans, we have, with the help of JT Engineering, identified the right-of-way acquisition that's needed. In total, there are 14 temporary limited easements that are needed and two permanent limited easements that are required. Temporary limited easements are required for grading purposes, mainly at driveways. Along East River Drive in Longview, we do have wider right-of-way, street right-of-way. The sidewalk itself will be constructed within the right-of-way, but at a handful of driveways, 14 to be exact, we're asking to obtain TLEs to grade from the back of the sidewalk to a point on the driveway to provide a desirable slope, a nice flat, gentle slope. That grading will be on private right-of-way. There are two permanent limited easements needed to set a storm drainage basin, catch basin, behind the sidewalk. There, in this particular location, there's a basin there now. We want to push it back and get it behind the sidewalk in this particular area. The topography is lower than the road, so we want to make sure that we continue to adequately pick up the drainage. And in order to do that and not push the sidewalk up against the back of curb, which is undesirable, we're looking to place that inlet behind the sidewalk on private property, which requires two PLEs. In general, I do want to point out that what we're proposing for the sidewalk follows what we've developed, what I've developed since I started here for a sidewalk section, or what we're proposing on this project is a 6-foot terrace and a 5-foot sidewalk. In some cases, we've adjusted that width to avoid obstructions within the right-of-way. And to do our best to avoid trees, we've, in some cases, narrowed the boulevard to minimize impacts to trees. And those were some of the comments we had received through the public involvement process that was last fall, right? As I thought through this these agenda items today, and I want to point out to you that As this project evolved, I look back at meetings that I've had at the committee level and village board, and discovered that the preliminary plans that we have developed haven't yet been through committee or village board approval, and I think that's important to get support and acceptance of this plan. As we move forward, and But at the same time, I'd like to get started with the acquisition of the right-of-way. At least the paperwork needed. We have, the next agenda item is to hire a consultant to start the due diligence needed, the reports, the paperwork, to determine the value of the property so that we can provide offers. Ideally, I feel it would have been better off to take the plans through first to get acceptance of that and then these two items. But I'm hopeful tonight to keep this ball moving, if it would be at all possible to approve the acquisition contingent upon plan acceptance by Village Board. If we want to hold off and take the plans through, get those approved, and then follow up with these two items, I believe we have the time to do that. And I'd get them on. I would get them on the next Village Board, the next Public Works Committee meeting, and Village Board meeting. But I don't know how you feel about moving ahead with the right-of-way acquisition contingent upon plan acceptance, and we would move to get this ball rolling to get the paperwork started so that in July, with plan acceptance, we're moving forward with the right-of-way acquisition.
Is there any doubt in your mind that we are going to have to acquire land in this
project? Oh, I know for sure. This item that we're talking about right now is for the acquisition of the property, the TLEs, the PLEs, and those A-plat and a handful of TLE exhibits were provided in the packet. And I'm fairly confident that those won't change.
And how many properties in total are there?
14 TLEs and 2 PLEs. Is that right?
But the 2 PLEs are in the same properties as 2 of the TLEs.
Yeah.
So in the end, it's 14 properties total. All right.
You guys may want to explain all of that so everybody knows what the permanent and temporary means.
You want it?
So there's the TLE is a temporary limited easement, and it gives the contractor, the village the ability to give the contractor the ability to go onto someone's property. And usually, I think most of them we have designated to be 5 feet. So from the right-of-way line back 5 feet into their property, with the understanding that everything that gets disturbed will be replaced in kind. A PLE is an easement where the people still own the property. You usually have some sort of facility, like a inlet or a catch basin in there. You get to install it on their property, and then you have the permanent ability to go in there and do maintenance on it. You couldn't go in and rip it out and pull it back in, I don't think. I'm not even sure about that, to be honest. You might be able to do that as long as you don't impact outside of it. But it's still their property, and you have the ability to go on there and do what you need to do with that item. The permanent one's forever. The temporary one is done basically once construction's done, you don't have that ability anymore.
And just so everybody knows, we've had flooding problems through there, and this is to address any potential, my understanding, flooding problems that we have had. This is long-standing ones down there.
This is for the most part, to maintain the existing drainage. Desire to have, we construct a roadway such, and in this particular case, sidewalk too, so that we can continue to promote lateral drainage inward into the curb and gutter, into the street. In this particular case, the existing topography is well below the back of curb, and with the construction of a terrace and sidewalk from the back of curb, we've in a sense created a dam to not allow it didn't get to the curb before because there was an inlet there prior to this. What we're doing is just moving that inlet back further behind or behind the sidewalk so that we can pick up the drainage.
So on the real estate acquisition proposal sheet where you list the PLEs and PLEs,
yep.
Acquisition fee purchase, can you just go through that? Page and explain those two.
Do you have the...
I do not have
a copy. Yeah, here you go.
So each of these you're saying, these like this,
the plat,
these sheets.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a separate item. we can go through that under item 6.
Oh, did I jump ahead?
You did. That's okay. Plat or the TLE exhibits.
It's all pretty straightforward, so we're really looking for a recommendation to proceed with final approval being by the board when the rest of the information is available. Correct?
Sure, yeah.
So, in the simplest of terms, what do we mean by saying no one wants you to wait for proceeding?
So I bring, well, bring the item back. We wouldn't get started on a real estate acquisition until acceptance of the plan.
And how does that help you? Because I don't think it does.
No.
Other than trying to go exactly to the board, I think we're still trying to kind of two birds, one stone.
Yeah. Ideally, I should have taken the plans through first. I thought I had, but I didn't. And get acceptance on the plan itself, the layout of the sidewalk, and then after that, after plan acceptance, these two items: real estate acquisition and a proposal that we've received from a consultant to provide the right-of-way acquisition services, the paperwork, the nominal payment study, a sales study, etc.
Basically, these are the last steps in the Safe Routes to School program for Longview and East River, correct?
Yeah, we're with the completion of 60% plans, we're well on our way, right?
Yeah, we're pretty close. It's just a matter of looking at the bidding documents at that point.
Yeah, and I should also point out that the information that went out with the letter that was sent to the residents that are located within this area, the mailer that went out, the plans that were included with that, and the comment form that was provided, there was a description of the project, and there were plans that were provided, and it described what. Describe the work to be completed that was used to develop these exhibits. So, in essence, the preliminary plan was reviewed, but I guess I feel it's best that we get 100% buy-in acceptance on the plan and move ahead with the acquisition.
So you're recommending we get approval on the plan prior to...
I think that makes sense. Yeah.
Instead of doing both.
If we can hold off, let's probably hold off. And I'll bring these back. What I'll do is I'll just add approval of the preliminary plan, and then these two items.
Has the feedback from residents been fairly positive?
It has been. Back of fall of last... Was it fall of last year or early this winter?
I think it might have been this early.
Was it this winter?
This winter, or I should say early this year. January-ish.
We had, at a Public Works Committee, we had Rich had summarized all of the comments that we had received from the public involvement process. And we had reviewed those comments, and I think in general we only had a couple that were opposed to the project. Some of the comments received were related to, will I be assessed for this project?
No, right.
Will it impact the trees in front of my property? They had a question about the maintenance of the sidewalk in the winter. After we had received the comments, we had actually made some slight changes to the plans to address some concerns. So.
Good.
Yeah. So what I'll do is we'll hold off with any kind of action on these items tonight, and on the next Public Works Committee meeting, I'll reintroduce these items and have an item for approval. Acceptance of the preliminary plans.
Okay. So we're just going to postpone until the meeting?
I think so. I think, yeah.
And that's still.
Okay. We'll get it on the Public Works the July Public Works Committee meeting, and then the following Village Board meeting.
5 and 6, right?
What's that?
Item 5 and 6,
yeah.
All right, item number 7, authorization to fill open street parking.
Thanks, Rich. Sorry about that.
Thank
you.
Good night.
You too.
So I have I had provided you an updated job description for a special equipment operator. Before we get into that, I want to give you a little background information. Just recently, we had one retire in the Parks Department, Jerry Watzka. With that left a vacancy, and it was decided to advertise that position internally first, and give somebody within an opportunity, a great opportunity to potentially do something different, build additional skills. And we had somebody from our street department applying, and he was given the job. So Ricky Collins has left the street department and gone to the parks department. We're excited for him. Great opportunity within to build one skill. So now we're looking to... Now that we have a vacancy, we're looking to fill that position. We currently have 10 in the street department, consists of a foreman, one heavy equipment operator. We have a part-time special equipment operator, and the other part of his time is spent in the shop as a mechanic. And then we have 7 special equipment operators. So with Ricky's departure, we have a vacancy in need for to hire a special equipment operator. The job duties and responsibilities for this position: operate equipment for the collection and hauling of garbage, recycling, bulk waste, leaf and brush; operate equipment for the televising, cleaning and maintenance of sanitary and storm sewer; operate equipment for road and sidewalk salting, snow plowing and snow removal; maintain and repair streets including street sweeping, street patching, marking and street signage; respond to emergency call-ins for snow plowing and other operations; perform daily inspections and basic maintenance of equipment. I think it's critical that we get somebody hired for this position. Often into the horizon, we have potentially 3 in the street department that will retire in the next 3 to 5 years, and it's be a preference of mine to get somebody in here and get them trained.
What's the market? Any idea? Find something good?
I hope so. I don't know. Just know that we had advertised for 4 seasonal positions, and we were able to fill one of the Public Works Department. So, no, it's a seasonal position, but I'm hopeful that we get a number of people that'll apply, and interview and.
I see you're going to train as on the job, so CDL.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. CDL. Yep. Right. Yeah. I hope to get candidates with experience with a CDL. A CDL is not a must, but the ability to get one within 6 months is. So, and we'll work with them. What's that? We will. Yep. If that person comes in with the experience, qualification, and right attitude, yeah. Yep. So Trevor and I have been working with the property owner at 2354. That property owner is interested in removing the existing home and building a larger home. Currently, there isn't a what I'll call an encroachment over sanitary sewer. The property owner at some point, existing property owner at some point, had built a garage over the village's sanitary sewer. They're looking to build a bigger home, they're willing. This property owner is willing to relocate the sanitary sewer north onto the adjacent property, and back to an existing manhole downstream. I had worked on a engineering agreement to make sure that property owner and village responsibilities are spelled out and clear. We can quickly run through those. It would be the property owner's responsibility to grant the village a 20-foot easement, and they're willing to do that. At the same time, then, we would vacate the existing easement. The village, with your acceptance approval, will be required to go out and inspect the installation of the sanitary sewer, the relocation of the sanitary sewer. It's a DNR administrative code requirement that we're out inspecting it. I anticipate the work to take two, possibly 3 days, and I'd be willing to do that at no cost to the property owner. Be the property owner's responsibility to hire an engineer to put together engineering plans, which they've already started. It would be the property owner's responsibility to get the permits needed to work it within the DOT right-of-way, which would include lane closure of the southbound outside lane. Yes. Yep. They would also be responsible to hire a contractor to close that lane to MUTCD requirements. It'd be 100% the property owner's responsibility to install, to provide construction staking, to bypass pump, and after the installation, to test the sanitary sewer, and that would be televising of the sanitary sewer. It would be their responsibility to provide us the televising report once the sanitary sewer has been relocated. And that they're willing to, at the completion of the project, provide the village ownership of that relocated line. We'd also require that they provide a 1-year warranty in effect. In the instance there's a defect of some sort with during construction. I'd also put in this agreement that they deposit $50,000 into an escrow account to be held by a title to be paid to the contractor after the work's been completed. And then a time of completion. I had proposed early October completion date, but they've just recently come back with some concern about that date because their discussions with the builder responsible to build a home, he doesn't believe that they're going to be able to find a contractor to do the work by that time frame, and I've since gone back to them and asked for a date because In all honesty, this work could probably get done in the winter. It's outside of the roadway. It's in a landscape area that if there's some settlement, topsoil can be added at a later date. So I'm still waiting to hear back from them on a completion date. Discussed briefly with the engineer, and I believe, with the exception of that date, this is acceptable to the property owner. So what I'd like would be a recommendation to the village board to accept this agreement. However, I will hold off taking it to the village board until I have a date from the property owner.
Has Christina had a chance to review this?
No. And before it's presented to the village board, we'll get it to the village attorney. I think that's a great idea.
So this is the little yellow house?
Yes. If they're, maybe they're going up.
Go up or up towards the river, I guess.
Yeah. There was a, there, just a, so you guys have a sense of what this is going to cost. The engineering, I think, alone is about $5,000, and the cost to relocate is mid-40s.
And we're incurring
the
cost?
No. The only cost that we're going to incur is we're going to help with the inspection. We're going to take care of the inspection.
Okay. And the owner pick his or her contractor? We're not...
Exactly, yeah. No, not at all.
Eddie's relocation service, we don't know. We just got to inspect it.
We're gonna inspect it, yeah. Yep.
You need a motion from us, and an approval by our attorney, and final date.
Yep.
I will make said motion that we recommend to the board to go ahead with this, pending input from the attorney and the dates.
The dates, okay. Yep. So just recently put together the compliance maintenance annual report. It's a mandated report by the DNR that summarizes the operational maintenance activities undertaken during the previous year in 2020. The annual report includes a review of the utility's financial information, status of the equipment replacement fund, identifies future capital improvement projects. It reviews operation and maintenance goals that we had for last year, and it reviews the operational and maintenance activities completed in 2020. It also has a reporting section that would identify any sanitary sewer overflows that we had in the previous reporting year. And at the end, there's a resolution attached. Before I can submit this to the DNR, I need a resolution from the village board indicating that this report has been discussed and reviewed at the village board. So I'll quickly run through those six report items. Financial status. In 2020, we did have adequate revenue to cover operation and maintenance and debt service. However, this year, we will be putting together a rate case so that we can make sure that in the future we have adequate funds to support the utility. We do have a equipment replacement fund. That equipment replacement fund is for future replacement of our lift station pumps, a portable generator, and for the maintenance and replacement of our vac truck. And we do have adequate funds in that equipment replacement fund. Future projects, CIP projects, there's six. This year, under the street and utility project, will be, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself, under our sewer lining project, sewer and lateral replacement project, we'll be lining the St. Mary's sanitary sewer, and we'll be replacing, I think, upwards of 27 laterals on St. Mary's. That is a project that we had started last year. We had started with the west half of St. Mary's, and now we're working on the east half.
Did you say 27 laterals?
Let me just, I believe so. I have that somewhere in here. Approximately 27, yeah.
That's the village side, the public side.
Yes, yes, yeah. With that, though, I should mention that with that project, we do offer the voluntary program. Mm-hmm. But we highly recommend to the property owner to replace the private side. But that's an agreement between the homeowner and the contractor to do that work. We've heard from the contractor that there have been a handful, I think about 50% as of right now. So, under this year's street and utility project, we will be making a number of sanitary sewer improvements that include the relaying, lining, and pipe bursting of sanitary sewer, and that would be on Beaumont, Cobb, and Roselawn Boulevard. In 2023, we're proposing another street utility project, which currently includes the following streets: East Green Avenue, Karen Lane, and the east half of Roselawn Boulevard. In 2025, in our CIP plan, we're proposing another street utility reconstruct project with sanitary relay. Those streets include Delahunt, Carl Street, Brevoort Lane, Stambaugh, and Vista. This year, we're proposing the line, the Sioux Lane sanitary sewer from the cul-de-sac to Beaumont. And we have already replaced a manhole at the intersection, a sanitary manhole at the intersection of Riverside Drive and Marine Street. I'll get into that more later at the end of this report.
It seems as though the lining of the sewer systems is paying off for us.
It is, yep. A lot of that work has been already completed this year. A couple of weeks ago, we had lined the Roselawn Boulevard sanitary sewer, at least that segment within this year's project limits, and then St. Mary's, the east half of St. Mary's. We had lined the west half last year. So, yes, we were able to get that project out early, a bit early, and we got great pricing, roughly speaking, about $22 a foot to line. Not every sanitary sewer is a candidate for that, but that's why we go and televise. We look at it first, and if so, then...
just for perspective, roughly, what is it for replacement costs?
Varies. Anywhere between $60 and $120 a foot.
Well done, then. Actually, the longevity, if I remember right from your last report, the longevity of the lining is actually...
Oh, the
it's
the same as a new pipe. After the curing process, that line pipe has the same characteristics of new PVC pipe. So, or a boulevard full of trees. We had a number of operation and maintenance goals for last year, and we were able to, for the most part, achieve all those goals, and that would this report doesn't have page numbering, but one of our goals last year was to continue to replace aging sanitary sewer. In 2020, we, as already discussed, lined the St. Mary's sewer, approximate length of about 1,600 feet, And we had pipe burst the Andalusia Court sewer adjacent to the Fox Point boat launch. It was, roughly speaking, about 310 feet that we pipe burst. That's another a trenchless method of repair. In that particular case, the pipe was in such a condition where we couldn't line it. We were able to pull it, get a cable through and put pipe behind a bursting head. And that bursting head makes an opening slightly larger than the pipe behind it. And we were able to pull new pipe through the existing. So, annual televising last year, we had televised, roughly speaking, about 8,000 feet. A majority of that was in preparation for this year's street utility project. We cleaned over 33% of our sanitary sewer system last year.
Cleaned,
yep. 33%. And that's a goal of ours, that at a minimum, clean a third of the village's sanitary sewer.
Every
year we do a third of the village.
Oh,
we rotate.
Yep.
We have roughly speaking, about 62 miles of sanitary sewer. The goal of ours last year was replace aging and failing sanitary sewer laterals. Last year, we had replaced approximately 27 sewer laterals on the west half of St. Mary's Boulevard. This year, I think it's closer to 24. It's in that ballpark. So, one of the things that we looked at was the possibility of exploring a joint purchase of a commercial grade camera. Now, we just recently purchased a smaller camera that that we use to identify blockage, to identify sinkholes, etc. But this type of camera, commercial grade, would be one that we would use to run miles of sanitary sewer. I don't know how much line one has, how long you can televise, but it would be a larger system. The pier has one where it would have a system possibly mounted with the reel in a van, and be able to actually televise an entire pipe segment, and then have the ability to launch up into a lateral and go up into a lateral. Look at that. We've explored the possibility. We haven't yet considered purchase of such equipment, but in the future it may make sense, because we, you know, last time we've done a major televising of our sanitary sewer system was in 2002 or 2003, where we went out and televised the entire system. And I think and that was about 20 years ago, so I think it would be a good idea to do that again. And not so much maybe the purchase of that equipment, but we list that as one of the possibilities to be funded under the American Rescue Plan Act. I know DePierre's, they're using funds for that purpose. You're looking at anywhere between 60 and 70,000. That's just for the televising equipment. Our thought was that, you know, we have an older van that we use for inspection purposes, that when that van is retired, the equipment would go in there. But something that we'll continue to discuss with our neighbors, a possibility. Next item, next goal is to develop a more extensive sewer TV program. And as I mentioned, the last time we had taken on such an effort was in the early 2000s. I'm hopeful I'm going to write, I've kind of earmarked if you know, once we've identified some projects, I think that would be a good idea to go out and re-televise all of our sanitary sewers. It's been some time since we've done that last. To identify more sewer to line, to look at where we have I&I issues, where we've got clear water intrusion into our system. And then to to help prioritize our street utility reconstruction projects. We find that there's a failing sewer out there, and we just actually had one a couple weeks ago on Webster Avenue. We had a basement backup. We went out, as we typically would, go out and look at the main line. There was flow on the main line. We went to stick a camera up into the sanitary sewer. We noticed that the main line sanitary sewer at the lateral connection, we were missing the top half of the pipe, was gone, 10 to 12 feet. So we called in a contractor, and we made the repair right away. And now we're working with Michaels, the contractor responsible for this year's lining contract, to do their own televising, and we're going to look to see if we can line that, get that done this year. The other goal we had was to improve the accuracy of our sewer mapping. We just recently, last year, we started this. We hired a consultant to help us with the renovation of our village GIS platform and mapping system. Operation and maintenance completed in 2020. There's some redundancy here, but we had indicated in the report that we had cleaned over 33% of our sanitary sewer. We had some root removal, but roughly speaking, 1% of our system. Sewer line televising we completed, roughly speaking, last year, about 2% of our sewer system. With the cleaning of our annual cleaning of our sanitary sewer, we also look at the manholes, which roughly speaking, we had inspected 33% of our manholes in our system. Manhole rehabilitation under our street maintenance resurfacing project, we do have a miscellaneous repair part in that contract to take on the rehabilitation of sanitary manholes, mainline rehabilitation. We had lined the St. Mary's sanitary sewer and pipe burst the Andalusia Court sewer. Let's see. I think for the most part, that summarizes our operational maintenance activities. I want to point out that the precipitation that the annual precipitation that we received last year was above the average annual precipitation, but less than what we had received in 18 and 19. We broke records in 18 and 19. Last year, we received 34 inches of a little over 34 inches of precipitation. The annual average precipitation is 29 inches, a little over 29 inches. We did have, in 2020, we did have a sanitary sewer overflow that took place at that manhole that we replaced this year at Marine and Riverside Drive. So last year we did have a sanitary sewer overflow March of last year. In 2018 we had slip line a new pipe through an existing between the Fox River Trail and it was on the north side of Marine between the Fox River Trail and Monroe Avenue. Unfortunately, when we had reconnected to the existing manhole at Riverside Drive, that existing connection, the pipe moved a little bit. The carrier pipe had moved, shifted a little bit, and the connection made had deteriorated. And it was more so due to the overall condition of the existing manhole at the intersection. So this spring we went in and removed that manhole, replaced it with precast manhole with precast pipe connections. Now we have a watertight seal. So, and and eliminated any, hopefully any future overflows from that location. So, yeah.
This is off topic, but weren't we planning to do a little sidewalk down from Riverside down to Marine Drive?
We did.
Along with that project?
We did.
We did do that.
It's done, yeah. With that, we put in the rectangular flashing beacons.
Yeah,
the sidewalk's there. It's been there. It was finished November, end of October, early November of 18. Yeah.
Get the slope right. It's kind of like
it does. Yeah. Bunch of switchbacks. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Do you have to put in landings or area of refuge, like level ground every so often?
Yes. Yeah. Off the top of my head, I wanted to just say that, roughly speaking. Every 25 feet, we have a level landing, and then we go down. Yeah. So that is a summary of the maintenance activities undertaken to our sanitary sewer system in 2020. On this particular item, I do need action. I need a recommendation to the village board to execute a resolution. Thank you. Yep.
Just one last question. So we get graded on this?
We do.
What did we get last year?
An A.
It's not a loaded question. I did not. Congratulations.
Thank you. All right. So, I want to quickly review with you two other annual reports that had been recently submitted to the DNR, one being the recycling program and the other being the MS4 stormwater management annual report. First being the recycling program. This was submitted earlier this year. This report summarizes the previous year's accomplishments and program cost. And this summarizes accomplishments and program costs for the collection of recyclables for 1 to 4 unit residential properties. In general, in 2020, the village collected approximately 1,200 tons of recyclable material that consisted of 1 aluminum containers, corrugated cardboard, glass containers, plastic containers, residential mixed paper, and steel and bimetal containers. Other material collected included used lead acid batteries, 23, used oil down at the LeBron residential drop-off site. We collected 2,300 gallons of used oil and yard waste. During the spring and fall yard waste collection, we collected 8,000 cubic yards. I believe that also includes brush. Total cost of recycling program, including yard waste, was $545,019. The cost to handle yard waste was approximately $372,000, and a breakout of the cost was provided in the report. Any questions on this report?
Yeah,
anything back on recycling?
We do. Yeah. Actually, the market has improved drastically from last year. Yeah, we're now getting paid to collect and dispose of recyclables, where previous years we had to pay to dispose of it. So I just had received an update from Brown County Solid Waste Department. What was the number? Yeah, we're now getting paid. I want to say it's somewhere between $20 and $40. I think it's per ton. But I can email that number to you. Last year, we were paying to dispose of it. So. That's hard to predict. I'll have to look at it, you know, as we begin to budget for next year. I'll have to make an assumption on what that might be.
Don't those rates fluctuate constantly?
They do. Yeah. MS4 Stormwater Management Program. The village owns and operates a storm sewer system. This is a permitted system by the DNR. Our storm sewer system discharges into the Fox and East River waterways. There are a number of activities or permit conditions that are included in this annual report, that include public education and outreach, public involvement and participation, illicit discharge and detection, construction site pollutant control, post-construction stormwater management, pollution prevention, stormwater quality management, storm sewer system mapping. Some of the notable activities completed by the village in 2020, for the public education, outreach, involvement, and participation, we use a number of different resources to educate and inform village residents and the general public. We use the All About Alloway magazine. We use our stormwater webpage. We also work with Northeast Wisconsin Stormwater Consortium. It's a collaborated effort with a number of other communities. And through these committee, through the Public Works Committee and Village Board, we use these resources to better inform village residents and general public on stormwater-related topics. Illicit discharge detection. Last year, I hired McMahon to inspect a number of our storm sewer outfalls. We didn't have or find any illicit discharges. An illicit discharge would be anything other than clear water, anything other than rainwater. Last year, we had four construction sites that were 1 acre or greater. They had that had land disturbance of 1 acre or greater. Three were private, and one was for the construction of the Bethel Baptist Pond. Land disturbance of a certain size, village requires stormwater permits, and that can consist of a number of things, depending on the type of project, construction erosion control, and post-construction stormwater BMPs, best management practices. We go out and inspect these projects in the summer. Kevin and myself will go out and inspect the construction projects to make sure that construction erosion control measures have been in place, prior to land disturbing activities. That one, they're maintaining it, and two, at the completion of the project, if the project includes permanent stormwater management devices that they were constructed in accordance to the approved plan. Pollution prevention. In 2020, the village constructed an additional wet detention basin behind Bethel Baptist Church. With the construction of that wet detention basin, we now have seven stormwater ponds. The pond that was constructed most recently, the Bethel Pond, will treat stormwater, treat and store stormwater from, roughly speaking, about a 90-acre watershed. Last year, we continued with the street sweeping. Overall, we removed approximately 255 tons of material from our streets, plus or minus made 13 round trips from starting in April through November. During the spring and fall yard waste collection, we removed approximately 1,300 tons of leaves from village streets. 2020 and every year we try to limit the use of our salt. And we updated our storm sewer system mapping. No, we're not going to have to. When I begin the budgeting process for next year, I'll have to look to see. We do have our salt shed right now is currently full, and we had to temporarily stockpile salt down at a yard waste site. Our street department built a compartment out of concrete blocks, and then we put a tarp. They put a tarp over it to protect it. Well, I'll have to look to see if we'll need to purchase any salt for the 22-23 season. We may not have to, or maybe just half of what we typically purchase. So. Yeah, I don't know if that. I'm sure that has definitely helped. It's probably reduced the amount of material collected at the curb. With keeping that site open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, I think a lot of people have taken advantage of that. Yeah.
When you mentioned how many tons of leaves you guys picked up in the street, that's curbside collection, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not taken into account. People bring the yard.
Has that number changed? I'd have to talk to Jim to find out if we've seen a decrease in that volume.
But I mean, the number you quoted is what you picked up.
Yeah, it's what we picked up. Yeah, at curbside. Yes.
So
yep.
We moved from the
it isn't.
Yards.
Yeah. Right. Any So as you know, the village has received a surface transportation block grant for the design and reconstruction of Liable from 172 North DeKalb Avenue. The total estimated project cost for design and construction is $5.3 million, and the federal grant will reimburse the village up to 80% of the design and construction cost. In January, I had put together an RFP and sent an RFP for engineering services, and I had sent that RFP to an established list of qualified civil engineering consultants. That went out in January. At a public works committee meeting, I had asked if anybody would be interested in the scoring and ranking of those proposals. Kurt had volunteered to help. We had received, I think it was 12 proposals. We had ranked those proposals based on qualifications, not on price. In the end, and those rankings are provided. In the end, Strand Associates had ranked the highest. I think overall that was because of they had prepared a thorough and well-written proposal that had identified all of the project challenges. With the tight time frame, we thought they had a leg up on others, so we had made a recommendation to the DOT. They had approved our scoring, and Strand has since put together a three-party agreement, which I've already taken through the village board, but I did that just to get this process started. But I thought it'd be important to bring this item back to give everybody background information and an update on this. So we had received a three-party agreement. Brian Andreas is a project manager. He is the project manager on this project from Strand. Strand's design engineering agreement includes the following: topographic survey, design reports, environmental documentation, utility coordination. It includes public involvement, three public involvement meetings. It includes preliminary and final design, roadway plans, specifications, and cost estimate. I should also mention that this contract also includes subcontracts with multiple firms to complete soils investigation, title searches, and to prepare an ARC historical survey and study. The overall cost of this contract is approximately $533,000. The agreement has been, it was already approved by the village board. It was then submitted to the DOT, and they have since signed the agreement. And so has President Rafter. Right now, I'm hopeful that within 2 to 4 weeks, hopeful that Strand will be out completing the topographic survey so that we can start the design of this project.
I'm glad for one that Kurt's not a teacher of mine, but you're a tough grader.
You never know how it's going to go. So yeah. The first one, you have to, you don't know how it will be relevant, so you have to temper yourself. And then as you go through, you can start to get a feel, and then you have to start over and go through everything again to make sure it's all in.
Yeah, that was a lot of work, wasn't it?
Yeah.
12 proposals, yeah. And we limited the proposals to 8 pages, but there was still a lot of material to cover. That was just an update. There's a schedule provided. Yeah, you know, with the topographic survey, that one of the subcontracts under the contract was soils investigation. So I'm sure they're coordinating right now with, I believe that identified ECS to do the soils investigation. So they'll go out, take a number of soil borings from that and the projected traffic traffic and loading to develop a preferred pavement section.
Redesign of Rose Lawn.
So I wanted to provide everybody an update on this. We have since received redesigned plans from Ari Smith Associates. Those plans have been forwarded to the contractor and to the utilities. This project isn't anticipated to get started until middle of July. Some of the work, though, under separate contract, has already been started and finished, and that would be the sewer lining. Overall, the redesign didn't increase the cost of the project. It went up slightly, I think about $5,000. The project was redesigned to maintain the existing roadway width. and there was a slight change made at the islands on the north side on the for the westbound lanes. We had initially we had made a 2.5-foot shift south. There was a slight change of a half foot. That shift went from 2.5 to 2. So we're anxious to get going on that project.
So mid-July, and we're looking for completion?
Early October. Early to middle part of October. Any questions?
Can I ask? Do I have a motion to open the meeting?
So the first question I have is, Michaels was out there today. I don't know why they were back, and I had no notice, and I was getting water spewing out of my toilet.
I'd have to call them.
I wasn't quite sure, because I have somebody doing construction in my bathroom, and he said, "Hey, there's water coming out of your drain." And I'm like, "Why is there water coming out of the drain? It's all closed and been open for 3 months and nothing's come up out of it." And I read Michaels is here. I wonder what they're doing.
I would,
said something about water or air being pushed through the pipes.
If I had to guess, and I can give Michaels a call tomorrow, they had provided a notice before they had done the lining work. They may
Correct.
Have been
2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
They may have been back to televise the completed work. That'd be my guess.
But you know, when you got water spewing out of your, it's kind of surprising when they gave us notice. Yeah. But as you know, it was, you know, they dropped it in our mailbox at 7 a.m. and said, "We'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. and don't use your washer, or your dryer, or your dishwasher while we're here because we don't want it." But I was like, I didn't come home until 5 o'clock. What the hell is this? So they're supposed to give 24 hours notice.
Right.
Which they probably did.
Yeah.
But most of us arrived home to the notice in our mailbox.
And we, in our contract, in our spec, and in the contract, we put that responsibility on the contractor.
Correct.
To notify the homeowners, and I'll talk to them, because we just don't know what their schedule is, we don't want to dictate that, or try to coordinate that, because they're doing work in Alloway, they're doing work in De Pere, they're doing work all over the Midwest.
I passed by them in De Pere today too, while we were on Alloway or Roselawn. So I know they're all over the place. I just wanted to let you know, as a person who lives on the street, I was kind of surprised because I knew that they would give us notice, but I didn't expect a little flyer and then be told, "We really don't want you to use these things while we're doing the sewer, and it's happening tomorrow morning." And then I called or I emailed, and they said, "Oh, no, no, don't look at that one. We're redoing it for the next day."
Yeah, and I had provided, I think I provided you an email explaining what had taken place.
Yeah. Okay. And I get it, but it's like, it's just one more communication thing, and I get it. I'm working with contractors right now in my bathroom, and they're expecting me to act as the general contractor, and I'm like, "Guys, you guys need to talk and coordinate."
And that's you know, with every construction project, there are some inconveniences when we
and
go
I
into maintain.
I just don't expect to be told at 5 o'clock that tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., "Please don't use any of your stuff. We're going to be lining your sewers. Make sure this is done and that's done." I would have expected a little bit more notice than that. Because you said check the construction update, so I have been checking them.
Okay.
And it says completed, but yet they're out in my street. And then I'm getting water into my house.
And I'm surprised by that, but I'll definitely call them and find out why they were out.
And I picked up the lid, and it was, thank God the lid was down.
What?
What the heck? So it was just kind of interesting, you know. And then, okay, mid-July I get, but what, and the other question I have about that is, I haven't heard a word about the laterals. I got a general amount from somebody. I have no clue what that means, what it's going to look like, nothing. And then I heard you say that, you know, we're supposed to be in touch with the company that's doing it. I haven't gotten any information from anybody.
It is it's on the list of, it's right on the top of the list of things that we have to take care of.
Yes.
And it will go out, and it will go out soon. You'll have, the project will start middle of July, but that work won't start right away. The removal and replacement of the lateral. So it's been on our list of things to do, and we'll get to it. Please be patient, and we'll get that to you.
Yeah, I know, and I understand totally. But you know, when you say that it's going to be a cost to me, I'm trying to budget.
I understand.
And I'm trying to figure out what does that mean. I'm also trying to figure out what does that mean for my property. You know, if I want to do landscaping or something, if they're going to be digging a certain area, I don't want to put landscaping or do anything with it if it's going to get dug up this summer.
I completely understand. Did Jeff email you regarding that?
Yeah, but it didn't really tell me much. It just said we're going to be sending stuff out
soon patient. I'd be more than happy to send somebody out tomorrow. If you've got 5-10 minutes to answer any questions you have.
Yeah, I'll make a time with you to do that because I have somebody working on our bathroom upstairs.
Okay.
We just got a load of bulbs that needs to get moved, and my 19-year-old just know the work he's going to be doing tomorrow. So.
If you can send me an email tomorrow.
Sure, that's fine.
And we'll make sure that somebody from the village will come out and answer your questions.
Yeah, because I don't know what a sewer lateral is. I don't know what that means. I just know that. If it's being offered, I should get it done.
Yep.
I just have no idea what that means.
Yep.
And then we do have a sump pump, but I don't know if that connects in or how that all works. I have no idea.
We'll bring the plans out, and we'll go through that with you.
Okay. Because that would be nice that people on the street knew that that was an option. Because we started all this in the middle of COVID, so it was kind of hard to do all that. So we didn't have a lot of public meetings. And there were so many pieces to this that some of us, you know, didn't think through what this all means.
Yeah.
I didn't think, are those plans posted on our website?
They are, but they're very hard to read if you're not an engineering person.
The project notification that went out.
We do. There is the plans are on the website because I've looked at them a couple times. They're not clearly marked if you're an engineer, but
so
it says.
Questions about
it. Yeah, it has little lines, and I don't know, is that my lateral? Is that the guy next door? Is that my water main? I don't know, because it's everything.
Yep.
It's user-friendly for the people who need the construction, obviously, but it's not necessarily user-friendly to someone like me, who's a bilingual teacher. I don't do engineering. My brothers do. I don't do engineering.
One of us can come out tomorrow and further explain the process.
Probably not tomorrow, but I will. Oh,
when do you have time?
Yeah, I'll email you and we'll come up with some time.
Okay.
I got electricians and plumbers.
You know, getting back to the private side sanitary sewer lateral replacement program, I know for sure that was mentioned in the start date letter and then possibly in the project notification. But regardless, the letter that you will get in the future, it will provide you the cost, anticipated cost for the repair.
Yep.
It will also explain to you, roughly speaking, what the condition of your existing lateral is, and then provide you an opportunity to come in and look at the televised report if you'd like to actually see it. But send me an email, and we'll make sure that come on. We'll bring the plans with us. And
my other question had to do with street parking and stuff like that. Once you start ripping up the street and you start doing that stuff, I've seen some places where they've had to park on another street when their street was under construction. I'm not quite sure what that all means for us, so I was wondering, are we going to be able to access our driveways or are we going to have to park on other streets?
How's
that going to work?
That was covered in the start date letter that was sent to you as well.
It says closed due to traffic. And we'll do our best to work with you. You'll be limited access to your driveway for a short period of time. Vehicles which are parked in front of homes, obviously. Vehicles may be parked on the east half of Roselawn or nearby streets overnight. But it doesn't say I'm going to have to. It just says maybe
And from time to time, you won't have access to your driveway. And that will be when we are working on the underground utilities. If we have a hole in front of your driveway and it can't be back and it can't be backfilled by the end of the day. Some is weather dependent. Yeah. Yep.
I'm envisioning having to park my car somewhere else for weeks.
We're hoping that most. No.
And I don't know because I've never done this. I've been in the house 20 years and none of this has ever happened. So this is my first.
Yep. Yep. Most of the time you'll be able to park near your home.
Okay.
And during construction, the contractor is required to keep one lane open.
Okay.
For emergency purposes and to allow those that live on that street segment access in and out of their driveway.
Yep.
But there will be times where you won't get into your driveway because of work on the utilities or the pouring of the curb and gutter, pouring of the driveway apron.
Yep. Got it. I understand that. Okay. And so the time period right now is it's tentatively to start mid-July and go to October.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they do. They do their best to provide a 24-hour notice. Yes.
And then they said they're going to put topsoil and grass seed for repair. Okay. 21 days. All right. Except if that's October, we're not growing in October.
Yeah. If due to weather, or it's unforeseen issues that come up in the field, if this project ends up being completed closer to the end of October than the middle. We always hold a retainer.
Okay.
And it's not uncommon for a contractor to have to come back to do landscape restoration, at least a touch-up of landscape restoration.
Fine. I understand. I think that was it. My biggest thing was the sewer laterals stuff and then the parking issues. Yeah, I think that was all of my questions.
All right,
do we have a motion to kick the rules back out?
Thank you.
Make that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. Brad's not with us.
Brad is not with us.
Would you rather us table this?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Well, not table it. We'll just
we'll put it on the next agenda. Yep. So this is a continuation of an item that we had on the last Public Works Committee meeting. What I have done in your packet, I've included a spreadsheet, and the spreadsheet identifies the meetings and the notices that were sent out. And what I'd like to do tonight is just quickly review the letters that were sent out. And this item will be a reoccurring item on our Public Works Committee agenda, and our hope it would be to make an improvement, to improve upon our communication. There's always room for improvement. So highlighted on the spreadsheet, we'll quickly run through the letters that were sent out. At the beginning of the street utility reconstruction project, there was a notice that went out to the property owners to identify them of the survey that was going to get done and to give them a little bit a little background information or a brief introduction of the project. I don't have a letter in front of me, but I think at the next Public Works Committee meeting, we maybe take a look at the letters that were sent out and make some potential improvements to the letters. But maybe tonight, after we get through this, I think it was suggested that as soon as we know of a project, that we get a letter out. I think that's important. before we get out the notice that it indicates to a homeowner that somebody's going to do a topographic survey of the street, to get to at least notify them ahead of time that their street has been selected for an upcoming street project. And we'll have to, you know, decide at what point that letter goes out. I think that would be after the village board has made a decision to move ahead with the project. And not on every project, but on our street and utility reconstruction projects. So there was a notice that went out to notify the residents of the survey that was needed for the upcoming street reconstruction project. In February, there was a what I'll call a project mailer that went out. Was a letter that went out to inform the residents of the project. It included plans. It also included a project form for them to answer some questions, to provide the village the ability to enter private property for grading purposes, for the reconnection of the utilities. And on the bottom of the form, maybe middle, bottom part of the form, was an opportunity to provide comments. And we had elected to not hold in-person public informational meeting, but to send out a mailer instead. And we've definitely learned from that. It's so important to have an in-person meeting to be able to, on a project of this magnitude. It's a lot of information to provide one. Public informational meeting provides an opportunity for ones to look at plans. It allows staff to provide a brief presentation on the project and then open it up to questions afterwards, and to meet with residents on a one-to-one basis. We had offered that in our project mailer that went out, and we had a number of people that had come in on a one-on-one basis to ask questions. I was hoping for a little better success on that. I believe altogether we had maybe 6 to 8 people come in. Within that same time frame, we sent out a letter and notice and engineering report for those receiving a special assessment. In this particular case, it was for storm laterals, for the installation of new storm laterals. Shortly after that, a notice was placed in the paper providing information about the upcoming special assessment hearing. In March, we had sent reminders to a number of residents that hadn't yet sent in the project form, and on that form there was information about the private side sanitary sewer lateral program and whether or not they were interested in the program. And also, we had asked for permission to enter their property for multiple reasons to complete the work. But that same time frame, we had sent out a notice to residents that had informed them of the upcoming village board meeting in March. And at that same time, a letter went out to those located on the east half of Roselawn Boulevard. Another lesson learned. That letter probably should have gone out at the same time it had. Two separate letters were needed. I didn't want to confuse anybody. I didn't want to mislead anybody to think that their portion of the street was being reconstructed. But the letter that went out to the east half of the street should have gone out at the same time the letter went out to those on the west half within the street reconstruction project. April and May, we sent out what I refer to as a start date letter. That was sent out to inform the residents of the anticipated start dates, when we had anticipated the work would get started. It also had informed the resident of any potential inconveniences. We covered some of those. The village will do their best to provide access to driveways at all time, but there'll be times when that's not possible. There were some other things that we had touched base on in that letter. I think water and sewer interruptions to their services. And then lastly, we provide weekly construction updates. To our best ability, we provide weekly updates. Those are, for those that have signed up for the village email, those are emailed out. They're also posted on our village website. So I think that's a lot of information that goes out. I think it's important though to put together a letter that we can review that will go out when a project is known.
And that'll be next meeting.
I'll do my best to put it on the next Public Works Committee agenda, but it'll be something that it will be reoccurring that.
I just don't want it to fall off.
It won't. It won't. Okay. Yeah.
So, for example, our projects next year.
Yep.
We have them slated, but they're not for sure until budget time.
Right. Yep.
So it's at budget time probably that we send out a letter saying that these are the projects that are scheduled for next year.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Once the budget has been approved, so September, October.
Yep. And I can put together a draft letter that we can review. I currently have the item on July and the July and August agenda where I can fit it in. I'll make sure to review that.
Well, I appreciate your transparency with lessons learned. That was a good thing.
Yeah.
As a resident, what I can say the issue was is that to get told in August that they're coming to do a study and then not a word of anything until the February letter that says, oh, and by the way, you're getting sidewalks. That was the biggest issue for me. That you're coming to do a reconstruction, yeah. Totally understandable, get it, totally. In August, people are coming to look because we're going to do a reconstruction. Get it. I know what that means. I knew nothing about sewer laterals at that point. Okay, I get it. There was not a mention of a move of our street. There was not a mention of a sidewalk.
Yeah, and at that time.
And then the letter was sent on a Friday.
Yeah.
We got it on Saturday, and you said, come see with us Tuesday and Wednesday. And Wednesday was Ash Wednesday. And so that's more of the issue, is that it's not the amount of information, it's the specific information to a property owner that's going to affect their property. It's one thing to reconstruct a street, it's another thing to change somebody's property. And that, I think, was the biggest issue that I heard from people.
And when we get out that initial letter, we'll, if the bike and pedestrian comprehensive plan is proposing sidewalk, we'll make note of that in that letter that will go out. What it, a lot of, in general terms, we can talk about the scope, but
right.
It takes doing the topo. There's some design that's needed to develop a scope
and
a project.
I understand. I get it.
And it's hard to...
As, as soon as you know that,
yep,
you need to let the homeowners know, and you have to give them a way to give them their voice. Because the other issue is, each of us was looking at it as an individual and not understanding what it meant. Once we started talking and we understood what this meant, because I'm not an engineer, I have no idea what some of these terms are, or looking at an engineering plan, oh, okay, that's what we're laying there. But once we started to talk with each other, wait a minute, is that what that said? Ah! And then we started to understand the scope of the project. Then we had more questions. So not having a public meeting made a huge issue for us.
Agree, yeah.
Because we didn't have a way of understanding
and
as a group, yeah, and being listening to other people's questions and answers at that time. Even if we had done it on Zoom or something, you know, just so that we could hear what was happening and understand it better, that was part of the problem. And obviously we still don't want sidewalks, but that's a whole nother bike and ped issue. I mean, that to me is a whole separate issue. Because those were proposals, and when I was part of that process, I went, this is a proposal not written in stone. When it gets to my street, we will have a discussion as to whether it's appropriate or not. But I'm not going to fight a proposal right now. And that's totally the way I handled that. And that was part of the issue with being not told until February, oh, by the way, we're going to do street, we're going to do sidewalks in May. What?
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, the information that you can give people that's as specific as it can be, I get it. You know, but that's what things are.
Not happening again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fabulous.
Of events.
Yeah, no, and it is fabulous. You know, I get it totally, but if you can extend that timeline, like if you're going to have a meeting, you can't send people a letter on Friday and say be there on Tuesday. People work. People have commitments. They can't do that. You got to give people some notice, like a week, 2 weeks.
I understand, yeah.
You know, that's why I couldn't go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Alright. Construction project update.
I'm gonna find that.
I know. It's all shot.
That's alright. That's I like the feedback. Thank you. I'll quickly run through our street projects. In your packet there was provided an update on our construction projects. Street resurfacing projects, with the exception of St. Mary's, the streets that have been identified on the list have been resurfaced. The work has been completed. Reconstruction projects, work has started on Beaumont. Currently, they're installing services, sewer and water services, on Beaumont between Green and Summit. Later this week, at the completion of those services within that area, they're going to go back to Green and put in storm sewer. Roselawn Boulevard, contractor anticipates starting that project middle of July. Culb Avenue, contractor anticipates that work to start middle of July as well. Sanitary sewer lining projects. The St. Mary's Boulevard sanitary sewer has been lined. Roselawn Boulevard sanitary sewer has been lined as well. We're waiting for the utility improvements between Green and Summit to be completed before we line the sanitary and storm sewer between Sioux Lane cul-de-sac and Beaumont. With the exception of St. Mary's Boulevard. Yeah.
They look great, by the way. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That hilltop, I think, is behind there.
Yeah. Sanitary lateral replacement project. That work on the east half of St. Mary's Boulevard is anticipated to start end of this month. And then I believe sometime in August, they'll go in and remove or replace via pipe bursting the sanitary lateral from the drive in Green Isle Park to the restroom adjacent to the tennis court. I believe that, for the most part, is a summary of where we're currently at with our construction projects.
Are we ahead of the plan? Thanks to weather, or?
For the street resurfacing project, we had gotten that project out early, and the work got done early. We had gotten the sewer lining project out relatively early, and for the most part, are done, with the exception of Sioux Lane. So. The street utility reconstruct project, those are larger projects, and for the most part require an entire construction season. So, yeah. You're welcome.
I'm excited about the 2021 budget, but in the absence of Administrator Lang?
Just a quick update. He just wanted me to tell you that we will be starting the budget for next year. I have already actually started. Hope it would be to have a preliminary budget completed by end of July.
Awesome. And now we've passed the agenda item, but the one piece of the American Rescue Plan Act, the McAlway is targeted for $1.4 million. 750 this year and 750 next year. So hopefully that'll help with a lot
of
things.
Oh, I think so.
Great, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Aye.
Thank you,
Dr. Rucker.
Thank you.